and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Peter Page, Justin Tyler, and Noah!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our...
Hey!
What?
Dude, there's time to cheers in between all those names. All right, ladies and gentlemen. What did you do?
And that's our man of the booth, booth. You know, we were going to do a whole hilarious bit about how grumpy Pete is today. But I think you guys just cheered him up.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. It's me hugging the audience.
Yeah, no, we did. Guys, we have an overpacked show for you. We have three awesome guests. It's like a baked potato that's dripping with sour cream.
You're that guest. You're like a baked potato. Charming.
Yeah, everybody likes that. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome our guests out. Elliot Kamen, Ryan Sack, and Jesse Blaise.
We're all out of order.
Clubhouse!
Wow.
And we have three more dudes backstairs!
What?
Where were
the minute you don't deliver, they're going to attack you.
Were they fighting with the knives?
Everything all right?
I really enjoyed going through the furniture.
We try to make this as much of a maze as possible.
I thought you did the show before.
I did.
That way.
Apparently the entire thing was wiped from my memory.
Oh, we just did.
We put that anywhere.
So thank you guys so much for coming on the show. We're really excited to have all of you here. Jesse, since you're sitting closest to me, let's talk.
Apparently I smell.
This is better here.
I feel like I'm protecting my penis.
You're right.
Let it out.
With the
pillow.
Don't tempt me.
Early in the show for the old table. Usually it's about a half an hour.
So, wait, so we get comfortable, right? I did the show before, so I feel comfy.
No.
Speaking of dick calls, let's talk about your comic. Gen Romeo, third issue, came out on Wednesday.
A lot of penis in that book.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about the book and how it's going so far.
Not going well at all for Romeo. He lost an arm and a leg and... You know, got shot a shitload of times. It's a vampire romance about...
Twilight.
No, not like Twilight. All right? It's The Princess Bride meets, like, fucking Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Wow.
Yeah. Whoever said wow.
Sold. She's sold. So, at any point does anybody say, as you wish?
But I totally robbed like that whole thing, like the as you wish thing, and I went with anything for you, like just totally ripped that off. I was just like, there we go, and that we'll repeat that a number of times. It'll be very sweet.
He's talking about Twilight.
No, my vampires do not sparkle.
There you go.
They bleed a lot. And they're from hell. Did I mention my vampires are from hell? They're all evil. They've all done terrible things.
Well, so, Twilight was born of hell. I'm sorry to someone's 14-year-old daughter. There's an adult reading it. You should
be sorry.
Fine, yes.
There's actually a line in the book, and I don't know if anybody else got it, but at some point, the Whisperer, who's the love interest, says, you know, I'm not stupid. Obviously, you're... And he says, don't say it out loud. And if anybody's seen the trailer, when he goes, say it out loud. So I said, don't say it out loud. I don't think anybody got it except me, but I was loving that. I was like,
so
yeah.
It's not Twilight, but you referenced Twilight.
I did. There's also
that's cool. That's cool, man.
Wait, there's also a line in there about how werewolves don't get any. You know, that was, you know, it was another little werewolf. So that was it.
That's all I referenced.
Yeah.
Yeah, so other than the lines of the plot, it's
totally... Listen, the plot isn't even mine. DC asked me to do a vampire romance. So like there you go.
They didn't say like Twilight.
They said give us Twilight.
They suggested.
They said here's our Twilight.
Wow. Are you Mormon?
So 36 Twilight is on tonight. So pick that up.
Elliot, can we call it Twilight, but without the suck?
Well, they do suck.
I'm leaving the show.
We got another guest.
Luke Cage sucked.
Elliot, let's chat with you. Last time you were on the show, you were a producer on The Daily Show.
Yes.
Now you're a writer.
Now I'm a writer on The Daily Show.
So what's changed for you?
A lot of times it was, oh, you're a producer on The Daily Show. What do you? What's that? What do you do? And now it's, oh, you're a writer on The Daily. Well, if you want to sit there, then that's okay. I'll just
is this
look
on the subway? Is
this is wherever you go, like,
yeah.
That place.
Well, the people that do this on the subway are bumps.
I'm a writer, so now I beg for money.
Hey, cut.
Okay. So people either think you're a bum or a pregnant lady.
Exactly.
Oh,
cool.
Congratulations.
Hence the pillow. This is no good. I got ragged on so bad by you guys. I gotta get you back. Give me more fodder.
Yeah. I mean, we spend most of our day making fun of people who will never try to get back to us. So.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think was happening last time you were on the show, you were talking about doing an ongoing D-Man series, right?
Yeah, that's still a dream that I have. There's something about having a superhero character who no one really likes in the universe he lives in, but also has no home. But not like I've got to wander. The road is, but more in like, I'm gonna roll into town and stay at the Y, and like maybe I'll stop some crime, and maybe I'll get a job for a couple weeks, like on a loading dock, and then I'll leave.
Home is where your super suit is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he doesn't really have a suit, and the fact that his suit
is Daredevil suit.
It's Daredevil with a little bit of Wolverine suit, and his whole thing is like, oh, I gotta be like Captain America, but he has no. I originally wanted to do it before,
steal from the greats.
Before Captain America was dead, and the whole thing was like Captain America kind of arranges to get him a job somewhere to get him out of the city because he's causing more trouble than he's stopping.
What and, I like about the idea, though, too, is that like all the other hobos that live down by the river are probably like criminals, and he's like the one guy who, like, they don't even have to leave. He can just, like, he's sleeping in the same area as them and is like, oh, I know you're going to go out and rape somebody. You don't have to do that. Let me just stop you right now. I saved both the trouble. I don't have to find you in Crime Alley. I'll just do it right here.
Wait, we're in Crime Alley.
Every place has a Crime Alley. They may not give it the official Crime Alley name, but it's Crime Alley.
That's why at the city council when someone got up and said, I have a petition to name this alley Crime Alley. Why the city council allowed that to go to a vote?
Because it used to be called Rape Street.
You changed it to Latrine?
That's a
dangerous. Yeah, it used to be Shit House.
That was a little bit of an upgrade. Ryan, since you were on the show last year, you actually wrote a comic, or part of a comic, part of the... Part of the Marvel's Assistant Size Spectacular, right?
Right. Yes, and it probably would not have happened had I not done this show.
Another big win for someone else.
That doesn't stop that for you guys.
Well, somebody.
It doesn't. I don't know why.
One of the assistant editors was at the show and saw me, and then through that connection, Tom Brennan, who wasn't at the show. A friend of his was at the show, there was some conversations had, and then the comic was written. So, yeah.
I guess you had to be there for that one.
I don't really remember.
It's such a vague, telling of the story, but all the details are there. I don't know what
to
leave it out.
I like to tell a story like it's a box from IKEA. It's up to you to find the Allen wrench. I'm not responsible for how it comes out. But I gave you all the MDF pieces and the little hex nut screws.
It sounded like driving directions with
out street names. Yeah. So then you go left, follow that all the way down, go right, then left, then another left, and you're there.
Yeah, you totally be there. Have a great time.
White Stars. Oh my god, someone just.
Someone laughed too hard.
Wow, that's a great opportunity to turn to our next section, which we like to call the stack. Very quickly, every time you guys want us to move on, somebody fall off the ride. First thing we're going to talk about is Batman and Robin. By Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely. In case you haven't been paying attention, there's a new Batman in town. It's the former Nightwing, who was the former Robin. And the new Robin is Batman's evil son, Damian. So what is
Why do you gotta put it like that?
Yeah, you didn't mention there's also an ad for
he's not evil, he's misguided.
What?
There's also an ad for joining the Navy and
stuff. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's in continuity. Yeah.
What did you guys think about this issue?
It was amazing. It was absolutely fantastic. When you kind of try to pitch it, it's like, man, it doesn't sound that great. The writing was absolutely fantastic, and this was just as good or even better than All-Star Superman.
Really? What?
Yeah. Oh. You heard it.
I liked it. The art is so good. There's the panel of Batman and Robin jumping out of some sort of plane that they have now was awesome.
No, that's a new Batmobile.
Yeah, it flies though, right?
Yeah. I know, but
it's the Super Batmobile.
I think they say it's the Super Batmobile. He says something like that. The Batmobile should fly. That is the Batmobile.
One of the great things about this comic, actually, that was really cool.
It's some sort of thing that flies. Yes. Am I right?
It's amazing. They've given it flying abilities, but they still call it a mobile.
Yeah.
That's why it's so fucking awesome.
Yeah. They reverse engineer like a Pierce Arrow or a Studebaker.
Yeah, right.
One of the great things about this book that I thought was really cool is they are introducing, you know, characters that we know from previous issues, but until they have that big splash page where it's, okay, here we go, here's the new Batman and Robin, the entire time, the way that Quitely lays out the panels, they're always very far behind, they're far in the background, or super close, so you never really get to see them in full until then when they're revealed in this gigantic two-page splash, and it's really pretty cool.
Yeah. Though I will say, when the villains are like working a freak show, I'm like, come on! If there are other people that can be evil than clowns and jugglers and stuff, there are other people, evil people everywhere. I would rather see someone from Rape Street or Crime Alley be a villain than a clown.
You don't want to go to Rape Street.
If you live on Rape Street, you know what you're
doing. Well, most of the people who come out of Rape Street, they get regular jobs. There are a lot of teachers.
It's just people like
Rape Street because they know they don't want to fit the stereotype. So they're like, I'm going to be different than what people expect.
It's the people on Folsom Avenue that really fucking
say. It's named after Gotham's first mayor, Sir Jeremiah Rape.
He was a knight. He was a knight.
Yes. When it was still a colony.
Backstory again. Did you guys get a chance to check this out? What did you think?
I did.
I'm thinking about joining the Navy.
That's
a powerful comic. It's a fucking powerful comic. I love that. I just really ate it up. And I love the reverse dynamic. You know, now Robin's the moody one, which is really cool. And, I mean, I really just want to see him get beaten with a crowbar, but in a good way. I want someone to hit him, and then Batman goes, see, this is why you need me. Because you get beat by crowbars when I'm not around. So I'm waiting for that moment. The art is amazing.
Specific want that you have.
and like
almost
you said,
pitch.
It is a pitch if you're listening.
I
think it is better than All Star Superman because it's less heady. And I really like All Star Superman, but some of the concepts in All Star Superman are like, woo-hoo.
Jesus,
the
Dreamcoat guy.
Yeah. That's a perfect example. So I love it. You know, it's way more down to earth, and you can't go wrong with the Funhouse of Horror and all that. You know, juggler.
Yeah,
juggler.
You can't go wrong.
We've seen it so many times.
But Mr. Toad did strike me like. So why not just use the Penguin?
When has Batman ever fought a circus or clown themed villain? You're thinking of somebody else.
Yeah.
I don't remember that ever happened.
He met Dick Grayson at a circus. What's the deal? Go away!
Wait,
go away!
That connects it. That makes it that much
skeptically optimistic about it. Just because, like, well, first off, because, like, the Robin thing, Elliot and I were talking about this earlier today, and there's something about him that seems a little too much like Stewie from Family Guy. He's like this 12-year-old super genius that's like, my father couldn't make the Batmobile fly, but I understand gyroscopic technology and I can make it happen.
No,
like,
Batman,
you're fucking
cool.
12. Go to sleep. Fuck you. Like, you can't do, like, Dick Grayson's like a little unsure about the job, and then Robin's like, out of the way then, Grayson, I could do this by myself. I was bred for this. No, you're not, your balls haven't dropped.
He's at the time of life when his hormones are running through his body, starting to run through his body, so like, he, like, if they jump out at villains and he's got an erection, or like, if he, you know, his voice starts cracking in the middle of a speech or something.
That's just nothing that a crowbar can't fix.
But that's essentially, yeah, that's what it is. His whole world should be just like hiding boners from poison.
This is so embarrassing.
There's a puberty Robin action figure coming.
You're going to notice he has a pouch in the front.
Yeah. There's a little pop-up thing. Switch on that.
Okay. Battery's not included.
All right, next thing we're going to talk about is The Punisher, Naked Kill. One shot. Finally.
You didn't like this.
What? Are you kidding me?
You did?
Yeah.
Like, do you remember what it was about?
Yeah, it was awesome. There are these bad guys, and the Punisher is like, I'm the only one who can save this. So he goes through all these levels. He doesn't have a gun. He has to use office utensils. I've had this daydream. It's almost the same. I like take down each person I hate in the office with like a stapler and a couple
of
pencils.
Did your dream end when you fought a guy named 11-3 who fuck kills people?
No.
He's named 11-3 because that's how big his penis is. That's the villain in the show, too. Yeah.
Thank you.
One of his penises is 11, yeah. The other is 3.
He's got a split, but it got botched.
Yeah. Wait, only 11?
Oh,
calm down, lady. Aren't you a grandma?
Yeah, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is a ridiculous book.
Yeah,
it's weird. The Punisher being ridiculous.
I mean, this falls into the category, and I feel like I'm getting repetitive here, but it falls into the category again of like the Punisher. Nobody can stop the Punisher ever at anything. There's no danger to the Punisher at all.
That's the way it should be.
Well, I think, you know, you take Garth Ennis's run, and he did create danger for the Punisher. He did make it interesting for the Punisher, and then most people are like, the most danger is like, oops, I dropped my gun. Oh, now I have it again. Bang.
Plus, I don't need to see, like a Russian murder, sex, torture porn ring that he's breaking up. Like, I'm all for, like
you
yeah.
want to stay.
They're making a living.
They're just
simple. Are you kidding?
People.
He's helping them make a living.
Providing a service.
It's the American dream.
They're all up to the 6th movie, and Justin wants to find out what happens in the 7th.
Yeah.
They're raping kids, volume 8.
When this came out, there was a bunch of blog posts about how there's a series of tapes on like the first page, and they use the word cock in a lot of puns. And it was like, isn't this too far? The word cock in this comic book. And then at the end of the issue, there's a panel of this dude who's with a giant dick who's just murdered someone, and they're scrubbing blood off his ass and cleaning the bed and dragging a dead poor girl's body out of the room. I'm like, the word cock? This guy just murder rapist. She like split her in half, and then the Punisher is like got a pencil. He's like,
I'm sorry. Did you say somebody says the word cock?
Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
I don't feel.
The snuff porn film has a huge crew. There are cameras where there's standing around the cameras. I guess the Punisher comes in and kills. real small, but there's like at least 15 people there.
you can only shoot each scene once.
That's
so
a lot of.
Wait
a second. That's a lot of German soldiers right there. People who stood around and did nothing.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's a union job.
Well, get paid.
You gotta hire like 10 guys to do one guy's job. Yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, Mr. Fuck Killer, I kind of feel uneasy about what you're doing now. Never mind.
No. Yeah. The real crime here is the money the union wasted on all
this. Because you killed them too.
There's an intern on the set who starts moving the body out of the way. Whoa! Let me see your car. You can't touch that. You know what? I just thought it would help. I'm just here for college credit. Well, you can help by getting out of the way.
College credit for yourself.
Continuity kid.
Leave that there until Bruce gets off break.
Did you enjoy your snuff film internship?
Oh, you did. Oh, I learned so much.
I just want to get in front of the camera.
Would you say pick it up?
Yep. No! Don't! This is one comment I can say. For your own sake, please don't buy it.
It sounds awesome to me.
I genuinely want to read it.
Let's talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Tales of the Vampires, one-shot. Written by...
Yeah, this one's just like Twilight.
That one actually is just like Twilight.
What did you think about this, you guys?
This is... it's really ridiculous because it's gotten so far away from the Buffy title that I've started to
Would
actually
Would you say
enjoy.
It's like a tale of a vampire?
Yes. But in a ungood way.
If only there was a word for that.
Yeah. I like in my head.
If you haven't read the main Buffy the Vampire Slayer series, vampires are cool now, and slayers are out and lame.
Is Buffy in this?
Buffy is not in this. It's a tale of a vampire.
I hate it.
So it focuses on one kid who essentially lets himself get sucked by vampires because he has nothing better to do in his life and follows his misadventures. I'm really good at pitching this stuff, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The art was really cool. The story wasn't all that... It's basically the standard team thing where it's like, the vampire's a metaphor for not fitting in, kind of. And then it works out.
So it's like X-Men and Twilight?
Wow. It's mostly just like Twilight.
I was talking about this with my wife the other night. What could vampires not be a metaphor for? Because vampires are basically a metaphor for anything. Like, they're a metaphor for hemophilia. They're a metaphor for being cool.
For
being
a metaphor
normal.
For hemophilia?
They're not a metaphor for being normal.
Oh.
Well, but could they? Could they be a metaphor for conformity?
No.
I think you have a comic on your hands, buddy.
Well, I'm just saying, is there anything...
In a world where all are vampires, who do you eat?
Yeah. Right.
What could they
I'm
not
hungry.
Be a metaphor for?
That's a weird conversation you're having with your wife.
To be fair, her answer to the question was, please, just let me sleep.
Say no more.
And I want that conversation.
So pick it up, but don't talk.
No, but they got it. This is getting so bad. Like, the fact that Joss Whedon's name is even on the cover is ridiculous.
He executive produced it. It says right here, executive.
I don't think
he approved of this comic.
There's no way. There's no way.
No, he just.
I will say,
for
the record, I liked it. I thought it was good. I liked the story. I thought it was well paced out. I enjoyed it. I think it's
good.
He's getting enough shit at home about it.
All right, let's move on to talk about Ultimatum number 4.
Yeah.
Hold on. We bring back the end of the Ultimate Universe
Thank
the way
God.
Only Jeff Loeb can. this is something Pete and I were talking about for a little while the other day, that I feel like people are really ragging on this a lot.
Right.
Saying things like, this is the worst comic book of all time,
okay.
This is the worst event of all time, etc. But I think Pete actually brought up a very...
Yeah.
What?
There are, just to put it in perspective, there are, I guess, comic events. There are so many worse events of time. Than
the Holocaust would have to be up there, I think.
I would have to be up there. The dinosaurs.
That,
but
cancellation
actually,
Seinfeld.
I think, we were trying to try to...
That's what cancellation Seinfeld is. I don't know about Holocaust. But
cancellation of Seinfeld.
We've argued this so many times.
Yeah.
We were trying to challenge ourselves to come up with something
that we did like about it because we feel like it's too easy to rag on it. And Pete had a very good point.
Yeah, I just feel like the Jeff Loeb has a way of putting some fun action sequences together. Like, you get to see cool stuff. The writing, you know, sometimes, and this, a lot of stories.
Hey,
there,
in
but
his defense, he's busy ruining heroes.
But you
or
do
no, sorry, anymore. It was already ruined to begin.
That does take up a lot of his time.
Yeah, not anymore.
Well, I think what we were talking about is the idea that I think the problem here is that none of the action, nothing is going on, is based on the characters at all. It's not brought out of that. It's just like, hey, wouldn't it look cool to see the blob eating somebody? Maybe it would or maybe it wouldn't. I don't know. That's not for me to say. But
that's how Jeff Loeb writes all of his stuff. I feel like he has a giant notebook where he writes, like, rip Wolverine in half. Okay. So I'll add that in. Like, have the blob eat someone. Have this Valkyrie character cut off Magneto's arm. And eventually he's like, years later, he's like, oh,
that's what
this
good
this
books
now.
Are made of.
Random moments of
random lost limbs and eating of people. That's why I read comics.
I pick up Dead Romeo. Well, what do you think about this?
I think it's stupid. I did like when Valkyrie cut off Magneto's arms. I was like, how the fuck did she do that?
Yeah,
with a sword.
What's the sword mean?
Yeah, but that's what I was thinking, because if it's metal, where are we seeing it?
If it's metal, then
he's no, but after he does it, he manipulates the sword with... He's like, oh, I shouldn't have let you got him so close. He lost an arm with that mistake,
that's
buddy.
That's the Holy Grail, right? That's just like... That's he's the Black Knight all of a sudden.
Yeah. He's a chauvinist pig,
well,
it really is.
Got a chance that's in this fight. Yeah.
But then in the next panel, he like
I'll
closes
bite your
up...
I'll
yeah, closes up the wound with his magnetic powers. I was like, I don't think
iron
that's blood. How it
he's affecting
yeah,
the ice.
That's a good...
No, that's different, though.
Huh?
He's
iron?
Different.
He's different?
I actually have.
You guys aren't medical doctors.
I got into a debate with myself when I
people
was.
People are mostly metal.
When I was.
He's talking about debating himself.
I came up with something else that I kind of thought was really interesting. Because Doctor Strange and all the magic stuff in the Marvel Universe, I've always had a little bit of a problem with, because Marvel is science fiction. Really, like, every character is based in science fiction, except for Thor and Doctor Strange, who, like, seem to come out of left field, mythology and fucking magic. And in the Ultimate Universe, it's even more science fiction based. And I really just threw me for a loop when fucking demons start flying out of Doctor Strange's sanctum. And I'm like, you know, of all, you know, if you're going to do the Marvel Universe right, let's explain magic in some way other than, oh, crap, demons broke the seal.
Well, plus, if you're ruining the entire Ultimate Universe, why would you have it all center on Doctor Strange's house falling in?
Well, that's like Magneto's plan was, I'm going to flood it, and then demons, awesome, everything will die.
But it is so weird, because Dormammu is and then he's got the Human Torch trapped in a necklace, and I'm like, why are we... Isn't Australia, like, on fire or something?
Actually, I will... My favorite thing about the book is the opening page. They do this in the Red Hulk book as well, where they just do pictures and little blurbs. Oh, my God. Instead of reading, like, a paragraph about what's happened in the past, you're like, somebody got stabbed. He's bleeding to death. We need to get him to the hospital. Let's read. You know, like, yes! That's all I need.
Yeah, that long paragraph is tough.
It's really tough. I don't read novels for a reason.
Guys, let's move on to something I think we can all handle. Werewolves on the Moon versus Vampires.
Number one. The sea.
It says werewolves twice.
Oh, I forgot to expand that on the PowerPoint. Werewolves. Werewolves! So, I don't know if you can guess what the plot is, but it's the future, and there's a moon base, and these werewolves show up, and then vampires get upset, and then they fight on the moon. This is the first
slow down.
Three
slow
issues.
Down. One step at a time.
Wait a second, the werewolves have a moon, what do
the
werewolves
have?
I mean, the vampires.
Keep going.
It causes the tides.
Okay, slow down.
That's a werewolf.
Okay, hold on. Here's the thing with the werewolves on the moon. What is turning them into werewolves?
Wait a second. That's such a good idea, but I didn't get it from the title. They're on the moon, so they're always werewolves. Yes! I swear, I did not realize that until this moment.
No, we got that.
Brilliant idea!
This cover looks like it could be a serial. And I would rather it was. I would rather eat this comic.
You'd rather have milk.
chocolate werewolves and.
Well, it's like werewolves on the move now with vampires. And this is a mess.
Werewolves show up.
There's a lot of story.
There's
there.
A lot of there's a lot of characters who don't seem to be werewolves or vampires.
Wait, that's a werewolf.
Okay, yeah, that's a werewolf. There's one panel of werewolf.
Plus, they're all goofy.
At the very least, he's a hairy guy with fangs.
I gotta say, I feel terrible about saying this, but I actually kind of enjoyed this.
What?
Man, why?
I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny. It's winking. It knows that it's doing something ridiculous, and there were a couple of screams.
Something knows it's bad doesn't mean it's good.
They're werewolves.
Sure. No, the werewolves look like the bad guys from Fifth Element.
Exactly. And he gets his ear shot off just like the guy in the Fifth
Element. Ah!
That's why I like it.
It's a rip-off.
Because
I
Corbin, Corbin, my man.
If
Corbin.
The moon calls at you, I'll call it at you. Nobody?
What's the word of the day?
Werewolves.
There you go. Would you say pick it up?
No.
There was this cool thing where a guy's face gets ripped off.
Yeah, by a magnet. That was all these. Sorry. Yeah, he has all these piercings in his face.
People are made of metal.
I do love.
Look,
that.
I had this before it was trendy. Okay.
Yeah. The werewolf is holding the flag, rippling in the wind of the moon.
I think it's because he's moving it.
All right. Last but not least,
I mean, that's what this.
We're going to talk about Sea Guy. Slaves of Mickey Eye, number 3. This series is great, and I think we all agree.
Oh, no.
Wait a second. The Onion says this is the first must-own comic of the year. Doesn't that mean it's not? Theoretically.
Wait till issue 3. Wait, then buy that one.
Are you saying it's a joke headline?
I don't know. I think it is.
Well, what did you guys think about this book?
I like the son of Nixon and Jabberjaw. anything where Nixon fucks Jabberjaw, I am in.
This is why you got fired from Hanna-Barbera.
Not just that reason.
That's one reason.
What did you guys think about this book? I know you were a little back and forth about it.
Well, yeah, in the beginning it was just kind of really tripped out, just Grant Morrison being like, I don't know, let's do some more trippy shit.
Woo.
And then by the third issue I was like, this is actually enjoyable. Oh, this is great. And then it well,
hey. So you're just saying because there's a sword fight.
Sure. Sword. not just a sword fight for love.
Oh. Did you take that serious?
I don't know well for that.
I like it. I mean, it's good. It started to make more sense as it went on.
Jesus.
It's so hard with a lot of his things because the story is so mixed in with all of these kind of random details that he throws in, which I like, but I'm like, I still am not quite on with the story and what I'm supposed to be thinking and feeling along with the characters.
See, I think I really like this a lot. I love the first Sea Guy series. I love this, too, because, you know, it's doing what most of Grant Morrison's stories do, deconstructing the superhero myth.
Yeah.
And here you have a hero who is a hero by doing almost absolutely nothing heroic. But in fact, just inspiring people to actually do deeds of heroism on their own. It's really cool, and the art's great.
Art's good, yeah.
Wait, what did I say? What?
Good, good.
Oh, okay,
good.
Thanks.
You're good.
Oh, I heard voices. No? Going a little bit
that
crazy.
That happens when you talk about Grant Morrison or read Grant Morrison for it.
Yeah.
Think about Grant Morrison.
You hear a Scottish man yelling at you over the sea.
There's a blurb from The Onion on the Madame Xanadu comic, too. I don't know how to take these seriously.
That was a joke.
It was, like, intoxicating. When does The Onion do comic book reviews? And they're serious.
Yeah. The AV Club does a lot of it.
There you go. They actually do.
Oh. Sorry, contact The Onion and have them review Twilight. Highlight. I mean,
they That's it for the stars! Section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring out Booth Man!
Yeah.
Hey, guys. I've got lots of questions about Twilight.
Don't ask me.
This one's for Jesse. Is the Dead Romeo character based on yourself?
Ooh. Oh, wow, that's actually a good question.
These are good people.
I got to be honest. I don't know if anybody catch in my book, my guy's got a ring tattoo, and it's his story. So does mine. That's my wife's maiden name. So I'd never written a romance comic before. So you know, they asked me to do like romance, and I just trying to think of like romantic shit. The only stuff I could think of was things I'd done on Valentine's Day. I'm like, well, that was kind of romantic. So like, I'll write that down. That's good. And
you're
I
also
just,
like, I'm gonna write this comic to get laid out.
Well, I'm married. I got a baby now, so that's kind of, you know.
Oh, it's over.
Yeah, it's kind of over now. That's a good excuse. Oh, baby, whoops. No, I'm not gonna say any honey. Everything's fine. So I kind of did that, and then in addition, I didn't. It's a comic book. I like cool costumes, so I had to put the guy in something cool. And I'm a rock musician in addition to writing comic books, so I made the dude a rock musician from the '80s, so I could just dress him up in gay clothing. And thus, problem solved. Not a famous rock musician. He's not like Lestat or anything. He just has, you know, gay clothing. Like, put him in. Look, my costume. It's,
so the short answer is yes, it is.
Yes, yes, you got me. Busted. Busted.
Rich, yes.
I was gonna say
loosely.
Why is any of the In the Luke Cage story based on?
On me?
Yeah, he's black.
I retconned the whole thing so that Luke Cage could be black.
He used it. I remember the old days. Jesus Christ.
No, not really. No. Yeah, nothing really. I did name one of the characters after a friend of mine. There was a guy in the book named Ed Salazar, which is a friend of mine in L.A. So that's all I did. And then I think every violent scene was how I envisioned myself punching Elliot. No, the things he does at work, is just
I earn it,
a
yeah.
terror. Well, sure.
There are a number of times now you've said to me, you said something about punching me so hard when your fingers turned to powder.
Oh, right.
Just one.
I want to punch him so hard that, like, that I basically, I start by the bones break, but then they just turn into a powder, a fine powder, because I'm hitting him so hard.
You'd have to punch him so many times that the moisture would leave your hand.
Oh, Christ.
Well, there's a whole logic to it, yes. I mean, I'm talking about just turning my hands into, like, just a powdery substance. Bones, just the bones.
You've said more than once, just looking at your hand like, one of you girls isn't coming back.
they're lovely ladies. Cagney, Lacey.
Pete loves this. This is like an issue of Punisher or something. Cool. Raise your hand if you ask the question. Pete's going to bring you a gift.
Woo!
Let's get the next question.
This is for Wyatt and Jesse. What superhero would you like to write as? Or for?
It's also for Elliot as well.
Yeah!
All right.
Retcon.
There goes my job.
Ladies first.
I'm all right with it.
Don't say someone black.
No, I've talked to Elliot about this. I've always wanted to write Batman, and I think I may have even talked about this last time I was here, because Batman was always like a comic I really liked as a kid, and it was one that I feel like they get a little too dark sometimes with Batman, and a little too much into like Batman as ninja, and those, and so I was always a Batman fan, so I always wanted to write Batman.
Nice.
Yeah,
cool.
So you would make him less ninja-y, more detective
less
style?
Ninja-y, and also less, like, he's so,
You said at one point more Bronson Pinchot-y.
Less ninja, but
the man Bronson Pinchot.
Yeah, make him more like Bronson Pinchot,
right? Or like Falky,
not Falky, but like Batman's
the breadth of his work.
That's also
the
breadth of
his work.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Surge, a little surge. No, I just also because it's like I feel like the character gets so hung up on like, oh, my parents died, and like, and here's the thing. Not to bring the room down or anything like that, but my dad was murdered when I was a kid too, and so I think that's why I connected to the character. Now it got deep. But that's why I connected to the character as a kid, and it's not something that, like, personally for me, when I read it and it's just like, Batman's so hung up on his parents' death, and it's like,
I fucking am normal. Like, yeah. I'm fairly normal, and I'm not spending my time like, oh, daddy, if I could just solve this. Like, I would get nothing accomplished.
It is true. It is true in so many stories now, he'll get to the hard part of the crime,
tights.
Like the mystery, and be like, I gotta go to crime.
And
drugs. Yeah, like,
no, no.
Figure shit, figure it out.
Like, yeah, at some point, like anything in anyone's life, that is a moment in your life, but you move past it and it informs who you are down the road. But it's not like the guy. I get the impression that when he like goes home to the cave, there's like a little time there where he just cries for like an hour. He just listens to Morrissey and cries.
Alfred, get out of here.
Yeah. And then like Alfred's like, Tim, don't go in there. It's his personal time.
Is that Morrissey playing? Don't go in there.
No, he's doing detective work.
It's the Morrissey killer.
Elliot, what about you?
Was it superhero characters or any type of character?
Whatever you want, buddy. Snake Plissken. Sky's the limit.
Now I want to write for Snake Plissken.
Garfield.
I'll write Garfield as Snake Plissken. But I want to write a story for a little bit now. I don't know if it might have been done before, about the Eskimos that worshipped Captain America when he was in Case. It doesn't make any sense. They're like, we found a guy encased in ice. We better abandon our gods. And then at some point, a fish man comes along and steals their god away. Like, how do you deal with that? They found this Iceman, and the village was like, let's do, like, this is our deity now. And then as an old man, because they keep lengthening the time between when in World War II he got frozen and when he got thawed out, like, over this old man's life, he's worshipped this thing, and it's gone. And, you know, he has to deal with that, so.
Can't really go back to the old god. Once you have
no, at
one.
That point, the old god doesn't want you back.
Yeah, it's old.
You gave him up for a man trapped in ice.
he was so much more alluring. Just stay here, but I couldn't touch
him. Is this now the story of like Nanook going to the city like in search of Captain America?
Well, that's the other thing is like that it, like what, the younger generation of those Eskimos, in a way, I guess.
Does
the
he turn to crime or superheroing?
Well, they go back to the cities and they're like, parents are idiots. This is like that guy's just Captain America. He has no godlike powers or anything, but I guess
he's super strong.
I can't go back now. This is,
so it's like Rome Springer.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's Springer, they never go back.
It's Eskimo Rome Springer.
There's your pitch. There's your pitch.
It's an Eskimo Rome Springer.
Amazing that it's like a ragtime song. Yeah.
Because they don't know what hip music is. They're making it up as they go, based on the stories of their fathers. And in that time, ragtime was the hip music. They go to a club and they're like, where's the Scott Joplin?
The amazing thing is, you did a brilliant pitch and you just killed it.
Yeah, thank you.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. Jesse?
Well, I got two short ones because Deadpool was the first mainstream comic that I got into that like got me into reading like Marvel comics first, and then later Batman got me into DC. But that was the one that started off for me. Joe Kelly's run on that book is just unbelievably amazing. And then in issue 33, Christopher Priest took over, and he literally has Deadpool walk a black plastic bag that says all of Joe Kelly's great ideas and throw it out. And at that point, though, Christopher Priest's book was really funny, not quite as good as Joe Kelly's stuff. It was really great, but the book just kind of went downhill from there, in my perspective, because there was no direction. There was no, like, there was Blind Al and Weasel, that was his supporting cast, that was what Deadpool was all about, and then it was like, whatever, oh, he's roommates with these people, oh, fat guy, look at the cowgirl, and I'm like, who the fuck are these people? Every time I read the book and a new writer came along, they did something completely different. So I want Deadpool, I want Blind Al, I want Weasel, and that's it, in a house playing pranks on each other. So one day, that. And then this goes back to the science fiction thing I said before, I loved the Blade movies. Because for the first time ever, I could see Blade and vampires fitting into the Marvel Universe. It was science fiction.
Have you been reading
Captain Britain.
I had to put it down after Blade showed up because I said, "You're ruining my plans." so I got to throw it across the room.
Really good,
I heard it was pretty cool. Yeah. But the science fiction aspect of Blade is the thing that they never brought in. They've like tried to relaunch Blade like 3 times since the movie came out, and nobody's done incorporated anything that the movie did. They keep going, "Oh yeah, magic and weird shit." I mean, movies, good science fiction,
Chris
good.
Christophe.
Let's do that, Chris Christophe. Where is Whistler? That's Blade's Alfred. That's what you need. So I want to give me Blade. Let's bring him Whistler, science fiction, good shit. I want to do that. And I'm so frustrated that nobody else has. They keep going, "Yeah, Blade's just tough to launch." No, because you're doing it wrong. The same way that you've launched it 8 times before the movies that didn't work and canceled the fucking book because magic and vampires in the Marvel Universe doesn't really... Wow. So science fiction vampires, much better. It's a point of contention.
That's
why.
Yes, he's going to bring you a gift. And that is it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
All right. It is time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. Hooray. First thing we are going to talk about today. Guys, I have some bad news for you. You know how Shia LaBeouf was going to play Yorick in the Why the Last Man movie? He said he doesn't want to do it.
That is a creepy picture, dude.
Yeah.
That's smart. I spent all day drawing that.
Man, why put on some clothes?
That's why I turned down the light so everyone can get it.
You can see it jump.
We need floor clay.
Is he in a wasteland?
There's no way that's his junk, man.
What? Why is he saying that?
What? Nothing.
I took a picture of myself and photoshopped his head up.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm sorry. That would be really nice. So what do you guys think about this? Who should play Yorick instead of Shia LaBeouf?
I think that's such a bummer, man. What a good...
What?
I'm not that he's not going to play it. You don't think Shia LaBeouf's good for it? He's such a great actor.
No.
Oh, dude, he's a good actor, man.
You are sick.
Have you seen him in shit before Transformers? Has anybody seen him in a movie before Transformers? A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints. Has anyone seen that movie?
Yeah.
It's a fucking good movie.
Yeah.
And Shia LaBeouf, he's a good actor.
There's no dialogue.
I have 2 things to say. One, Elliot and I just realized that must be a production still from Commandy. If I was gonna have somebody play Yorick, Zachary Levi, the dude from Chuck.
Yeah. That's good. Well,
3 people are in it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Who else George Clooney. I'm just kidding.
Young George Clooney.
We're not sure.
Shia LaBeouf is a good actor.
No.
Even Steven. Come on.
Wow.
What was his show back in the day? When he was on Disney Channel. I used to work with my little sister. He was good on that show.
All 3 of the
better
George
than
Trump.
All that other crap.
He can split it to 3 people.
Yeah.
I have small siblings. I had to watch Disney Channel.
I don't know. It would have to be someone that I would really believe would be the last dude. You know what I mean? Like Screech or something.
Like you have to fuck this.
Oh, you want to make
that's
no, something
different.
That would make womankind want to play.
Next thing we're going to talk
Johnny
about.
Johnny Depp.
Brad Pitt.
Johnny
Depp.
Guys. Johnny
really
Depp. Good.
A higher budget issue than I thought it was. We're going to talk about Spider-Man 4. Spider-Man 4. There were 2 pieces of news.
They're still not going to pay off the promise of having Kirk Connors walking around all the time not doing anything.
Well, we don't know. That's the thing.
Peter,
that
you need to focus on your studies. I only have 1 hour. And that's my scene for the movie.
Yeah.
I guess you got another goblin to fight.
I really want them to go for I need a hand. Just because, I mean, 3 movies by and I just keep going. And they don't do it, but maybe number 4.
The thing that they announced is that the villain in Spider-Man 4 is going to be somebody intrinsically tied to New York City.
Yeah.
That's all they've said about it.
Everybody assumed it was Kingpin. What they said did not strike me as, it's Kingpin.
I bet he goes, okay, Well, this is what I would pitch. Spider-Man goes back in time. Robert Moses wants to build the and he says he refuses to put enough space in the middle of the lanes to put light rail between Manhattan and Long Island on the LIE. And Spider-Man has to,
he has to sort through the paperwork.
He has to create enough of a groundswell of the opinion.
How it ends up is they have an elevated train going down the middle of Manhattan that stops short as soon as you hit the end of the island.
Yeah, just like in real life.
Yeah. I have a reasonable guess. I say an ectoplasm-filled Statue of Liberty. I think that's the way to go. It's very simple.
There's nothing more New York than that.
That's a weird statement.
Is it a pre-existing villain or is it someone new?
People are guessing it's Kingpin, but that's a pretty big.
If they said that, it would be some kind of clue toward an existing villain.
Right.
I'm guessing Rudy Giuliani.
J. Jonah Jameson and the Spider Killer.
What about the Hypno Hustler?
Rocket Racer.
Yeah. Woo! Those are all really good ideas. And that's it for the week. It's the
Bugs Bunny baseball cartoon, but with Spider-Man instead of Bugs Bunny. Yeah. The Yankees are beating somebody. And he comes on, well, let me take care of this, fellas.
First base, Bugs Bunny.
What does that mean? Intrinsically tied
Scorpion.
To you?
What Spider-Man villain is this in New York?
He's got a leash. Because he's tied to Jonah Jameson, and Jonah Jameson's tied to the city.
I bet if you look up Scorpion, it says he's from Oregon.
It could be J. Jonah Jameson the Spider Killer.
It's a new character called Building Man.
Skyscraper.
Dr. Subway says you're in trouble, Spider-Man.
They call me Traffic Jam.
Guys, it's time for our next section of trivia. And for that, we're going to be the main.
This is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Wow. I'm going to have to go with first hand up, guys. Come on down.
First hand up, guys.
What's your name? Matt. Matt, audience?
Audience Matt.
Okay. This gift card could be yours. This is how it's going to work. You have three questions. Listen to each question. Listen to all three possible answers. Go 3 for 3. Gift card yours. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Boothman. Today's trivia is on Dead Romeo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is Dead Romeo's real name? Is it A, Jonathan Romero, B, Steve Romersfield, or C, Ernest Borgnine? So it's either A or it's B.
I'm going to have to go with A.
A is correct!
You first to read the book.
Wow. 1 for 1, don't get cocky. Here we go. What is Dwight Fry the leader of? Is it A, Vampire Nation or VN? Is it B, Hollywood Vampires or HB? Or is it C, Beagles uniting to sniff or butts? So it's either A or it's B. So B. B is correct!
Two for 2, walk away now.
This is a lot of pressure.
Take what you got, take your winnings and go.
Okay.
Don't go further. This one.
The book is narrated by, is it A, Death, B, the Devil, or C, Jesse Spano? So it is either Death or it's not the Devil.
I'm going to go with Death.
He's correct! 3 for 3, $25, $3, enjoy!
Awesome! All right. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. What are you guys looking forward to?
It's a big day for me. There's a lot coming out. I mean, I got Punisher, I got Wolverine. We can go with Hack Slash, though. I'm going with Hack Slash.
Nice.
Yeah.
Roll standard.
I'm looking forward to Flash Rebirth number 3. Everyone's kind of down on this, but I've been liking it.
What do you think?
You think you were down on it, too, though?
Huh? No, I'm up on it.
Oh, you're up on it.
All the way up.
Were you up for issue 1? Like,
yeah, I like the whole thing. I like the
art. You didn't like issue 1?
Yeah, you did not like issue 1.
I did like it.
No, you said you didn't like it.
Yeah, no, right. Wait. You weren't here for issue 1. That was when I was here.
Yeah, but I talked to him about it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we did an interview. I was the only guy that liked it.
That's not true. I was the guy that liked it.
We become one.
Don't tell us.
It's one.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Sherlock Holmes number 2, actually. I really liked the first issue a lot. It was a good surprise. It was a good Sherlock Holmes tale. Really well drawn, really well written. I can't wait for the second issue.
Yeah, it really did.
You see the trailer for the movie?
Really cool.
It's great. Just that one scene with the big hammer, and he's got the little hammer. That sold me.
Just the way Sir Arthur Conan Doyle intended.
I don't know about that. I like me and my Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I like him too.
I feel a little gay saying that, but I think he makes me a little gay.
It's cool to say. I love him, but that movie, I'm like Sherlock Holmes in a boxing fight, in the naked in a bedroom. He's a snow star.
Oh, he's an action hero in this.
That's what I like.
It looked good to me.
Jesse, which comic book are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Well, Savage Dragon's been awesome. I'm looking forward to that. But actually, really, I'm looking forward to Trials of Shazam number 5. My boys Art and Franco take over the writing on that. They do Tiny Titans, and Tiny Titans is awesome. If you don't read Tiny Titans, you should be. They're taking
right
over.
And actually, really right on.
Oh yeah, it's such a good book. But they're taking over the writing for like an arc, and then what's his name? The guy who does the Hero Bear book. I always forget his name. Huckle.
Oh yeah.
Kunkel. He's coming back to do another arc, but they've got an arc right now, and I'm super jazzed to see what they do with the book. So everybody should check that one out.
That's cool.
And plug some stuff you have coming out.
Dead Romeo number 4 is coming out first Wednesday of next month, and it's actually my favorite issue to date. I just got to approve the lettering PDF. That's cool. And there's a Hulk one-shot coming from Marvel one day.
So we'll look for that.
Stay tuned for that.
So they let me announce it like a year and a half ago at some con. I was so excited. I'm like, this must mean it's coming out. A year and a half later, it hasn't been solicited.
It's a slow burn.
It's a very slow burn.
Elliot, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to, I see that the third BPRD War on Frogs comes out.
Yeah, that's really good.
BPRD is maybe my favorite book around right now.
Yeah.
And I love that the War on Frogs is basically, in a way, like just a series of war short stories, but where they're fighting frog monsters instead of, soldiers or anything like that.
Have you ever read the new Hellboy? That's damn good.
Yeah. Anything that comes out in that world of characters. And also because they said in the letters page, I guess, of the last one, that the War on Frogs era is coming to a close.
I know, I couldn't believe that. What are they going to do now?
I don't know. I guess they can literally do anything.
Squirrels!
Yeah. It could be, and we bought frogs as the villains.
Yeah,
so.
For a long time. Well, that book started out as literally like every now and then they fight a frog monster. And then it became this bizarre, like, huge saga of monsters and things. And that was, the development of that book has been really great.
It's been
so
crazy.
I'll be sad when that chapter closes, but I'll enjoy it while it lasts.
That's
what I like to say. A lot of people, when they know a book's ending, they jump off it. But me, I like to savor each of those moments, Which is why I'm going to keep buying Captain Britain also.
Oh, yeah. Great.
It's a
plug something of yours that people should check out.
There's a show called Daily Show.
Flophouse.
And there's a... Oh, thank you. I do a podcast called The Flophouse.
Where
we watch a bad movie and then we talk about it. And that's at the flophousepodcast.blogspot.com.
What was the last movie you watched? The
last movie we watched was Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Wow.
The one before that was 7 Pounds. And after 7 Pounds, Beverly Hills Chihuahua was an oasis. Tomorrow night... Thank you. Tomorrow night, I'm hosting a movie screening at the 92nd Street Y Tribeca down on Hudson Street. we're watching. This is will hopefully be the first of an ongoing series of older movies, and tomorrow I'm showing Thin Man, which is one of the best movies ever.
Yes.
And,
oh, you're watching good movies, because I was going to say, you should totally do They Live. That movie is just ripe to be made fun of.
They Live is a fine film.
Oh my goodness.
Fabulous.
I'll be introducing it and then talking a little bit about it afterwards, but it's such a good movie. Are you guys familiar with that one, The Thin Man? It's really good. It's a movie that even if you don't come to this thing I'm doing tomorrow, I would say rent it.
I'll add it to my Netflix.
Really
Nick and Nora rock.
Yeah.
Yes.
What are you looking forward to?
Star Trek Scrabble.
Sounds
crazy, but just the idea of like 28 pages of Star Trek characters playing Scrabble. I'm interested. What is Spock going to choose? Like, he's got an X and a What's he going to choose? What word will he make? Will he make the word, like...
I don't think that's a book.
Is he going to use an English word?
You included the products in the list you gave us, huh?
Probably Star Trek theme for Scrabble, probably.
Well, I want to see it in book form. I mean, because can you do Klingon words? Because then that opens the world up.
Then
like,
the Q is a much more valuable letter. More easier to use, I guess.
Actually, there is no Q in the Klingon alphabet.
Oh.
Whoa! Oh, sorry! Sorry about that.
Wow.
I checked out for a minute.
What looks like something of your own?
Something of mine. I don't really have anything big coming up. I'm heading to Bonnaroo this weekend. So if you find yourself at Bonnaroo, come by. I'm not there doing a show. I'm just there selling these little healing crystals that I've really gotten into. And I mean, they work. I feel like they really work. Like, as far as just like getting the toxins out of your body, that was, first I learned about it on Oprah, and it's really, so I'll be selling crystals at Bonnaroo.
Guys, I have a couple of things. Here we go. Oh, I'm sorry for you.
Oh, no, just the crystals. I'm doing some velvet paintings. But I haven't worked my way up to velvet yet, so right now it's just like denim.
Next week on the show.
Occasionally wool. Velvet's very cheap right now.
Next week on the show, we have a special guest for you. We're going to have
burlap rice. They don't hold the paint that well. They're good for more like a quick painting that when you get it home, you're not going to have a painting anymore. You have the memory of the day.
That's a good memory, man. Worth it.
Next week on the show.
I'm starting to make my own incense. It's really just something. I Wikipedia'd it. I found out how to do it. I gotta be honest with you, most of it's just cigarette ash. But it's still, when you get it home, it smells like sandalwood. So that's good. You should check out some of that.
Our guests include Pat Cashin, who is a former Wrigley Brothers clown, so he will be battling Batman, so that's pretty exciting.
Bullshit!
Also, Vito Del Sante and Andre, I wrote this down very tiny, Andre Vera Martinez, who just did a book called Before They Were Famous, Babe Ruth, which is very cute and cool. So we're going to have them on. That should be great. Also, you can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Jesse for being here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thank you.
Ha ha ha.
Twilight. Once that starts.
It's alright.